Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon, Friday the 13th today. Some show notes before we jump into action here. If you're looking for some wrestling tonight, you have WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis. All-Star Wrestling, the Girls Gone Wrestling Show in Surrey, B.C. SCW in Iowa City, Iowa. BWW in Kelowna, B.C. EMW in Globe, Arizona. The EWF in Covina, California. AAW in Berwyn, Illinois. Northwest Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana. Tomorrow night, PWF, where you can find myself and our guests, as well as the returning Casey Carlisle tomorrow night. All-Star Pro Wrestling happening in Shelbyville, Indiana. The Wayne Fall Fest, featuring a whole lot of huge wrestling names at the festival there in Wayne, West Virginia. MSWA, featuring our old buddy pal Ox Harley in Rockwood, Tennessee. RCW in Red Deer, Alberta. NSW in Columbus, Georgia. VPW in Thompson, Georgia. ARW in Lake Station, Indiana. Funkified Wrestling in Warsaw, Indiana. AWE in Fort Kent, Maine. PPW in Manistee, Michigan. UPW in Gates, New York. ASWA in Mansfield, Ohio. BOW in Live Oak, Texas. And the AWA happening in Elmore, West Virginia tomorrow. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest back to the show, making his second appearance with us. Just exciting. Welcome back to our show.
It is me. It's me. That man that gives you that feeling that leaves you on the edge of your seat. What's going on, Side Guy?
Happy to have you back, and I'm looking forward to our appearance tomorrow night. We're going to be returning to Bremerton for PWF tomorrow night, and you, my man, have a huge task ahead of you. You have a rematch with that dastardly Ian Bear.
Yes, 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 man. I told Ian last show I'm one man who could survive a bear fight, and I'm going to keep on fighting. You know, we all know Ian is a monster. He's about 6'7", almost 300 pounds of pure muscle and big man power. So he's nothing to take lightly, but I am the Pacific Northwest Cruiserweight Champion. Been the champion for over 100 days come tomorrow, and I plan on showing why I am one of the best in the Northwest.
I used to manage Ian Bear at one point in time, so I know a lot about Ian, and I know a lot of things that he might pull out of the bag of tricks that would surprise even you. Have you been doing a lot of scouting of footage from Ian Bear? He's been around for almost a decade at this point. He's been around for a while. Are you doing a lot of scouting for this rematch?
The thing is, Sign Guy, is me and Ian are no strangers to each other. Even we're in the same group in another promotion, you know, back in the day. So I know exactly how ferocious the bear can be, if you know what I mean. So I'm never putting nothing against Ian Bear. Every match that we have is harder, it's longer, it's more brutal. But that's only because not only is he finding out what I'm about, I'm finding out just how much and how far I can bring him. You know, it's the battle, brawn and the capacity to withstand it?
Well, tomorrow, like I mentioned, we're going to be back in Bremerton for PWF. And at the PWF, the fans might not realize this, but we have a PWF coffee club. A lot of that locker room loves their coffee. Casey Carlisle coming all the way back from Virginia to be there. Dale Pierce, yourself, myself, all proud members of the PWF Coffee Club. Are you excited to have some coffee tomorrow night right there at the Bremerton Elks?
Man, you know me, and I always show up with a cup of coffee in hand. If not, I need one in my hand, so hopefully the coffee is pouring like Seattle rain, you know what I mean? So, of course, I'm excited.
I have spoken to management to ensure that we have an ample supply.
Okay, good. All right, that base is covered. Make sure you got the sugar and creamer, too.
I will try, I prefer my coffee like I prefer Bad Blood, hot and black.
I'm sure he likes his the same way.
You would think. Now, my understanding for tomorrow is that you're going to unveil some brand new merchandise. Is that accurate?
Oh, man. Yeah, man. I've been sitting on a little stockpile for a while. Going to break them out. Going to have the new T-shirts. The Just Exciting Charisma Sky High T-shirts could be released. And we're also going to have the Exciting Skull T-shirt on the table as well. And really excited to bring those out.
I might just have to pick up one, although I don't know if that would be totally appropriate being an unbiased official for PWF. I might have to have someone pick it up for me.
Hey, man, everybody has their favorites, man. Oh, and we're also going to break out some X's for the fans to sign. Break them out there, too. If you want to sign, guy, you can hold it in your pocket and just every time you fill a count, just hold up the X.
That's not a bad idea.
You see? That's exciting.
It is a little bit exciting. It saved my voice.
That's another plus. See, man, it's a win-win.
We had in Seattle recently the first ever all-girls tournament. It was put on by 3-2-1 Battle. They had all ladies on this tournament. I know you were there watching it. I thought it was an amazing tournament. Some of the very best west of the Rockies showed up that night and put on a great night of action. What were your opinions on this 3-2-1 tournament that was all women?
That show was definitely worth the hype. Those ladies brought it. It's actually, I've never seen a full women's show. I showed up a little bit late, had some things to do, you know, had to get ready, had some training to do, but showed up a little bit late, caught majority of the show, very impressed, had nothing but good things to say about those ladies. They definitely worked their butts off. Shout out to 3-2-1 Battle, too.
Absolutely. Wrestlers, of course, were all lady wrestlers, but on top of that, they even had an all-female officiating crew. A couple of them, I believe, were in their very first ever matches in front of an actual crowd. They are brand new, just trained. I thought they did a fantastic job. Did you take any special note of the female officials that might be popping up on shows where you're wrestling in the near future?
Man, honestly, no. They I didn't see any difference. They handled their business. They followed the rules. They were clean. They were, you know, more abrasive and aggressive when they needed to be with their counts because, you know, sometimes you need that as a referee. You need to step in and assert your authority. Awesome job, like I said, across the board. Awesome job, ladies.
Now, Girl Hebner, I presume, had been officiating for a couple of years just by watching and observing what she was doing. And I found out right after the show, she was 3 months into training at that point.
Yep. Yeah. She's awesome. Always knew Girl Hebner from, the crowd. Definitely a loud fan before she stepped her foot in the ring. Definitely an avid wrestling fan. And, so she's definitely in the correct career.
I would agree with that. There is one other place that you've been popping up pretty regularly in the last few months, that, of course, being BCW down in Portland. You defend the Pacific Northwest Cruiserweight title there, and you participated in some of the tournaments they've had recently. What's it been like for you becoming a regular for Blue Collar Wrestling?
The environment at Blue Collar Wrestling is definitely family. They welcome me with open arms. They look out for me. We all look out for each other. Everybody on this roster is a hardworking. They take attention and pay attention to the craft. Everybody's striving to get stronger and better. Really, definitely a great atmosphere.
Going into Blue Collar Wrestling, had you been looking at some of the online footage? Had you studied some of the roster to see how well you may fit in there? Or was it something that you went into kind of cold and just saw where things would lead you?
Honestly, man, I kind of compare myself to Batman. I kind of have a plan for everybody, and I don't underestimate anybody. And anywhere I go, you gotta survey the land and, know what predators are out there so you can be a predator too. And, of course, I searched up people, Bad Blood, Tommy Celsius, Big V, multiple other people. And, I literally just see a whole bunch of monsters that want something out of this business and that are working hard.
Right around the time that you came into the company, we saw a return to BCW of one of the most successful tag teams they've ever had, that being Wonderfully Vicious, Zach Winters and Big Vicious. Then they also brought back Meat, who we hadn't seen in BCW in quite some time. They reformed their faction, and they've been running roughshod over people lately. What do you think of this returned faction that is new to you?
I don't really want to say too much about them, but, we are a good business partner, so to speak. Things have progressed in our interactions. I found that me and Big V surprisingly have an understanding, which, as many people, if you know Big V, he doesn't really understand too much. So I think I have a good, little wild card on my side. But if you've been following me, you kind of understand that I don't need anybody or anything. I kind of let my in-ring work speak for itself, my charisma speak for itself, and my win speak for itself, and my title speak for itself. At one point in time, I was a triple champion, and right now, only with one belt, I do aspire and am on a mission to recreate and increase past successes. So I'm definitely hungry, and I think it's not the fact that should I be looking and researching people. I think people should be looking and researching me.
Big V, for a very, very, very long time, carried around his manager, Bob. Bob had a rough time just about a year ago when Petrov kidnapped him. He was never the same after that. We haven't seen Bob recently, but as someone that has apparently made some kind of connection with Big Vicious and has become business partners with him, have you had many dealings with Bob to date?
We've had a few conversations about, you know, the infamous Bob. We have a few plans. I don't think Big V, he doesn't speak much, but I know he doesn't forget much either. I'm sure that's still on his mind. But like I said, Big V is a monster in himself. I'm sure, you know, I'll stand behind and watch the path of destruction that he leaves while making my own.
As you might recall, we have a game on this show that we like to play called Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you have come across, and the first word or two that pops into your mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Here we go. Let's go.
First one, Casey Carlisle.
Awesome.
Christian Andes.
Green.
Ian Bear.
Polo Vest.
Tex Thompson.
Vet.
Adam X.
Talent.
T-Rex.
Ref.
Hero.
Fans.
Sunny Days.
Enemy.
JB Moonshine.
Drunk.
And last one, Buddy Highway.
Sullivan. That's the first thing that came to head.
That's perfectly acceptable. Now, I ask people this quite often, usually during instructions. If Buddy Highway is the lost Sullivan, how is it that he can find his way to the building every single week?
I think he just stumbles upon it. It's fate. It's what he's supposed to do, so it just instinct leads him there, I guess.
That's a possibility.
Indeed.
At this point in time, my co-host QT standing with you, and I know that he has questions. So, Thez, help you as I pass things over to QT.
You all right? What's going on,
well,
QT?
Thank you. Hey, not too much. I'd like to expand on Sunday's word association, if I might. Are you ready for round two?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how about Sam Sims?
Blank.
Oh, okay. At blank. All right. How about Coach Mike Jones?
Cool.
Okay. How about, let's see. How about Ronnie Angel?
All that popped in my head for some reason was Chris Angel.
Oh, Chris Angel. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that concludes Word Association. Now, you said earlier to Sign Guy that Big V doesn't understand much when he really understood his fruit pie that was delivered to him for being ranked number one on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes, he really understood that. He came out of the dressing room and had a big smile on his face.
Oh, yeah. He tends to smile a lot. You know, you never know what he's thinking, so... Just because he's smiling doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing.
Well, I think he knew that he was going to get his fruit pie and it was going to be delivered because I have a delivery rate, and Sanjay can confirm this, of 95%.
Oh yeah, sure. I'm sure he food and violence always motivates Big V.
Oh, okay. Well, he wasn't that violent when he took the fruit pie. That was nice. Okay. But he did threat he was very interested in the slight possibility of giving QT a sidewalk slam. Yes.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's probably a few people lining up.
Well, now this holiday season is coming up. Would you like to see QT Vokes take a sidewalk slam for charity?
Oh, for charity? Yeah, of course. Shoot, take a super kick too.
Oh, okay. Well, I might have to ascond myself in foam rubber like a foot thick to take one.
If that's the case, you could take a corner-to-corner, like, dropkick or something. I know I can make it.
Well, yes. You remember when Bobby Heenan came to the ring in a suit of armor, don't you? Have you ever seen that YouTube video?
Oh, yeah. All chain-linked out.
Yes. Oh, okay. Now, earlier, Sign Guy said he liked his coffee hot and black. Well, in his book, No Blacks, No Irish, No Dogs, Johnny Rotten, lead singer of the Sex Pistols, I found out that he liked his tea weak and warm, according to bandmate Jaw Wobble. Yeah, now, do you like a tea and after bout tea and along with your coffee? That's what I'm getting at.
I'm mostly a coffee guy, man. You got to keep tea's a little weak for me.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So.
Now, I'm not sure, but in our last interview, did I give you a homework assignment?
No.
Oh, okay. Would you like a homework assignment?
If it involves me winning tomorrow, I think so.
Wow, all right. I'll have to think of one later on as the interview progresses. Yes. I'm pretty good at thinking up homework assignments on the spot. Yes. All right. No problem. Now, Justex, you said you compared yourself to Batman earlier. My question is, have you run into Batgirl lately? Batgirl.
Actually, I don't know if you know, but I have a little mini teacup chihuahua that I take to BCW with me, and her name's Batgirl. So, yes, I have. I see Batgirl all the time.
Oh, I have not seen this chihuahua that you take to wrestling events.
Yep, she definitely has a little fan base at BCW herself.
Wow, now immediately my mind switches to the British Bulldog when they brought Matilda with him to WrestleMania. This is huge.
Yeah, man, you might be witnessing the start of something amazing.
How come more wrestlers don't bring their pets to the Pacific Northwest? And how come we haven't seen a mascot?
Honestly, I really can't answer that, but now that you say that, stay tuned.
Do you plan on getting your dog a spiked dog collar?
Actually, see, I have three dogs. I have an American Bulldog. His name is Bane. I have a teacup chihuahua, Batgirl. And I have a pug chihuahua, and her name's Harley Quinn. So I have a little squadron of, you know, superheroes backing me. And I don't think the dog collar is really needed, you know, the names speak for themselves.
Wow. Now you said you had a dog named Harley Quinn?
Yes, that's my pug chihuahua, and I also bring her to BCW sometimes too.
Now, in the back of your mind, when you were naming the dog, do you think he had a Freudian slip and were thinking of Harley Race?
Man, I might have. Man, you know, like wrestling's always on the mind, you know, so I was trying to mix in a little wrestling maybe with, you know, keep with the comic book theme. So you might just have a point there. You know, you're always thinking about wrestling even when you're not thinking about wrestling. So
I agree there, yes. Okay. All right. Now, you're on tomorrow's card in Bremerton. Is that at the Elks Club?
Yes, yes, sir. And the Bremerton Elks. And I believe the address is 4131 Pine Road Northeast. Yep, doors will be starting open, I believe. Doors open, I believe, at 6 o'clock, bell time at 7.
Oh, okay. How many times have you wrestled at the Bremerton Elks Club?
This will be our second show at the Bremerton Elks. We were in another location beforehand where I wrestled numerous times. Me and PWF, that's home, away from, you know, home where I sleep, and always have a blast there, always try to put on a show, always packed house, always crowd, an enthusiastic crowd. It's a great environment there, too.
Now, I think you're right that this is only the second time wrestling has been at the Bremerton Elks Club, am I right?
I believe so, making history, PWF.
Oh, okay. Now, I haven't been there. Can I look forward to the concession stand? How was the first time around?
Man, they actually have a really good concession stand. Make sure to support your local wrestlers and check out, purchase some merch. I know these wrestlers these days, we are all putting a lot of hard work and time into the merch, so get you guys some stuff that you could rock and support and watch when you watch, you know, wear when you're watching wrestling, you know, so make sure you guys check out the merch table.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Merchandise tables are very important to support the wrestlers. Yes. And I think incoming wrestler from the East Coast, from the Virginia area, Casey Carlisle, who will be in action this week, will also have some merchandise. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Casey, the veteran of the ring, going against Sunny Days. That's going to be an amazing, and definitely an exciting match.
Well, you know yourself from watching The Sign of the Times, produced by Sign Guy, that Casey Carlisle has a long and prosperous and wide selection of merchandise selections. What one other photographs that Sign Guy holds up is your favorite? Mine, of course, is the heart-shaped pillow. Yes.
The heart-shaped pillow. Honest, I'm not too sure, man. She's been doing it for a while. I like the one picture where she is wearing her title, you know, with the turquoise trunk sleeves.
With a belt the size of a hubcap. Is that the one?
Yeah, man. It's a huge, man, you got to love big belts, man.
Oh, okay. Yes. I would have thought your favorite would have been the miniature picture of a hot nurse. In our hot nurse. Yes.
Got to love big belts.
Now, do you believe in your match tomorrow that a hot nurse will be needed at ringside? Because of the violence.
Man, to be honest, the only nurse that's going to be needed is going to be needed for Ian. So I definitely plan on bringing the house down.
Wow, all right, okay. Do you think there's any chance in the new year, or should I say maybe the winter quarter, that Randy Zellers will rejoin Alpha Sigma Sigma or a faction thereof? Randy Zellers.
You know, I've been watching Randy. I've been seeing his victories, his losses. I've seen Randy when he was at the high of the high, and I've seen Randy when he was at the low of the low. So I could see Randy maybe making a positive move in a positive, exciting direction, maybe sometime down the line.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, I have from very good sources that several Northwest wrestlers are going to do a remake of Animal House, and Randy Zellers is going to play the part of Flounder when he pledges to the fraternity. Now, who do you think will play the role of Brother Bluto?
Oh, man, I'm not sure. Probably Ian.
Oh, okay. Now, what will happen when Randy Zeller's face pops up on the screen when they're reviewing the pictures and backgrounds of the plebes, and everyone throws popcorn and beer at the screen and yells in horror.
Well, you kind of said what's going to happen, but, you know, probably going to yell in horror. I guess you already said what was going to happen.
Oh, okay. Yes, I did. All right. Well, I look forward to Randy Zeller's being a plebe in this Northwest Wrestling remake of Animal House. Yes. Okay, very good. All right.
Sorry, Randy.
Well, you said everyone at Blue Collar Wrestling was striving to get better. What do you think about the weight loss Buddy Highway has undergone and his transformation into powerlifter?
Buddy has always been, you know, a powerhouse. But the fact that he's, you know, they always say, you know, muscle weighs more than fat. You know, muscle is more conductive to your, you know, to your average daily living than fat. So the way that Buddy has transformed his body is amazing. You know, shout outs to him. That's my boy, you know, Uncle Buddy to the kids. So shout out to you.
Wow, okay, all right. Now, Just X, Sign Guy is known for collecting books at the Seattle Free Library, and I don't think he collected these books at the Seattle Free Library, and I'd like to read you a passage of one that he probably did not find there. It is called, Is That Wrestling Fake? The Bare Facts by Ivan Koloff with Scott Teal. Can I read you one of these passages?
For sure, for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, this is from page 113. Let me get my marker out of the way. Okay, here we go. Fans came into the ring quite often. In 1980, when Roddy Piper and I were teaming together in the Charlotte territory, we wrestled against Ric Flair and Wahoo McDaniel in Sumter, South Carolina. As we walked to the ring for our match, a guy stepped out of the audience and sucker-punched Roddy. Roddy threw his bagpipes at me and chased the guy down in no time at all, knocking him to the ground. The cops were supposed to throw the guy out, but they gave him a lecture and let him go. After we lost the match to Flair and Wahoo by disqualification, and while we were walking back to the dressing room, the guy ran up behind Roddy with the intent of blindsiding him again. I saw him out of the corner of my eye and beat him to the punch. Literally, I hit him and broke his jaw. We later learned that he was an off-duty Marine soldier on leave. He sued us, and when our lawyer was doing his research, he learned that the guy had become a police officer. The Crockett settled the case out of court, but Roddy and I shouldn't have been held liable for anything. We had to protect ourselves. Now, you see, I thought that was a very interesting passage, and you probably have never encountered a fan actually throwing a punch at a wrestler or yourself. Am I correct in this assumption?
Oh, yeah. I've ran into some disrespectful fans. You know, of course, you're going to run into the hecklers, but I've never ran across anybody that ballsy yet.
Oh, okay. Yes, and to think that that guy was a police officer.
Yay, man. It just shows that not everybody needs every job, I guess.
How great would it have been to have Roddy Piper as your tag team in 1980 before the era of the internet in the Charlotte territories?
Oh, my gosh. Come on, man. That's Roddy. That's bagpipe playing, infamous promo saying Roddy Piper. So that would be, you know, that's among the top of the list of things that people wish they could have done but would never be able to do. So rest in peace, Roddy.
Why hasn't any wrestler in the Pacific Northwest taken up the bagpipes?
Because that's Roddy. You can't duplicate that. He's literally once in a lifetime. I don't think there will be ever another character that was out as outlandish but as legit as Roddy was, man. Roddy was Roddy inside, outside the ring, legit Rowdy, you know, so.
Oh, okay. I have to admit that would be a very hard act to follow. Yes, playing the bagpipes.
Maybe Sheamus.
It'd be kind of like following Jimmy Page on stage and trying to play the guitar.
Yeah, or, you know, Hendrix or somebody. It's not really going to work.
Yes, I think the only one that could follow Roddy Piper, like in if he were to be a wrestler and if he were to be alive today, would be Bon Scott of AC/DC. He played the bagpipes. Bon Scott.
Oh, see. Yeah, I think he might be a little bit late to start up now, though. late in his career.
In fact, that's going to be your homework assignment, to look up It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll and see Bon Scott playing bagpipes. Would you do this homework assignment?
Is he literally going to be playing bagpipes? Because if he's literally going to playing bagpipes, I need to see this.
Oh, yeah, he's a quite accomplished bagpipe player. That's where you hear those bagpipes being played on that song. That's Bon Scott, yes.
Okay, most definitely. Gonna have to send me that information.
Oh, okay. I could send you a link, or I could put it up on Facebook.
Yeah, just let me know, man.
And please send your comments to Sign Guy.
I got you. I'll blast Sign Guy's line.
All right, I'll look forward to that. Okay. All right. Now, Jestex, I'd also like to read you a passage from a book called The Hard Way by Don Fargo, again with author and writer Scott Teal. Are you ready for a passage about Don Fargo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, let me open up this book here. Okay. Now let's see here. Okay.
You really got literally a book in front of you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Okay. This is from page 95. We used to go into classy restaurants like Jack Dempsey's in New York. Well, now I'm going to pause here. Do you remember who Jack Dempsey was?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Heavyweight champ of the 1920s.
Most definitely.
Manasseh Mahler. Okay. Jack knew who we were, so we always got great service. He was a great host. He talked to everybody who came into his place. He'd walk up and ask, "Do you want to hear some boxing stories?" Of course, everybody wanted to hear. I got to turn the page. This is very good. Okay. Hear what Dempsey had to say. He had a table by the window. People walking by would wave at him, and he'd wave back. He didn't look at himself like a celebrity. He acted like an everyday, ordinary Joe. We finished dinner one night and walked up to the cashier to pay our bill. Jackie turned his back to the cashier and started fiddling with something. When he turned back around, he had an end of a cigar crammed up his nose. He asked the cashier, "Got a light?" We did that to a lot of people. You wouldn't believe how many people would pull out a book of matches and light it. We'd breathe it in to get it burning, tell them thank you, and walk off. Another thing Jackie and I used to do was walk around the dressing room naked. We did it because it made the other guys uncomfortable. We'd get up close to someone and ask him a question. That they would get fidgety and would back up a little because they just didn't feel comfortable standing so close to a naked man.
Are you sure this isn't Sign Guy? This sounds like this was Sign Guy in the back.
Uh-oh.
now.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know really. I myself have been slightly barred from going backstage. Yes, although I think we have heard him. Yes, okay. The further back they moved, the closer we would get. My favorite routine was to take my cigar, stick it in my butt crack, and walk into the dressing room. Hey, you guys, has anyone seen my cigar? I had it sitting right there here where I was sitting, and I can't find it. I point to the bench and turn around as if I was looking around the room for it. Of course they'd see it hanging there. Someone would laugh and say, it's in your butt. I'd pull it out, stick it in my mouth, and say, anybody got a light? Oh, God, you're sick, Fargo. Yeah, we were, but we had a lot of fun doing those things. Okay, I did it with my toothbrush, too. Anybody seen my toothbrush? Boy, that's something.
No, that's too bad.
One of the favorite ribs Jackie and I liked to pull was with chewing gum. I take a I better not read that passage. Okay. Well, that was
spare me.
Yes. Okay. But that was with Don Fargo, and so I've got two classic books with me. My question is, do you yourself plan to write an autobiography one day of wrestling in the Northwest?
Man, not just in the Northwest. Hopefully, you know, my journey is far from over, and hopefully I reach a lot more goals that I have planned for myself and, you know, make a lot more of an exciting book. Definitely been an exciting ride so far, but I definitely have more chapters to write. So when I feel like I have enough chapters written, maybe I'll think about that. But right now I'm just trying to, you know, just get better, keep training, you know, and just show the business and show the world why I named myself Just Exciting.
All right. Well, it seems that Don Fargo may have led the way for Bill Clinton's antics with a cigar. What's your favorite rib that you have pulled on a Northwest wrestler? Can you give some example of some of the ribs you may have pulled? Or shenanigans?
Man, yeah, honestly, I'm pretty chill. You know, I just show up and do my job, listen to vets, you know, ask how my matches were, and, you know, help break down. But as far as to me, man, there's been a few. As you know, I'm the Cruiserweight champion. So one day, you know, I bring my kids to a few shows. So one day I was just, you know, really, you know, tired after the show. And I'm loading up my kids and I helped break down. And I thought I had everything, but I left, which you don't ever do. I left my belt with a few other pieces of my gear, because, you know, I trained, you know, at Evolve in Seattle, so I knew I was going to be going back there probably the next day. And my belt started popping up on my Facebook news feeds and stores and, you know, like just in so many random places, different people taking pictures with it. And, you know, to the point, like, it literally became, you know, its own gimmick, you know, so... not necessarily a lot of, you know, ribs, whatever. I remember one time when I first started, some money ended up out of my bag, but, you know, I'm not going to really dwell on that. That's the past. But, you know, I haven't really, you know, seen too many or been the victim of too many besides that one belt thing.
Oh, now you said some money disappeared out of your bag?
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago. I'm not really going to, you know, talk about the promotion or whatever, but we're still good friends and everything. Still love that promotion. That promotion's awesome. It was a little misconception, but thing is that when the workers found out, it was, you know, all for one and one for all, very camaraderie, very supportive. And that's why I have nothing bad to say, and that's why I'm not going to say anything bad about them, because they're awesome.
Okay. Well, I look forward to your match tomorrow. I will be there, and I will bring the book The Hard Way, Bygone Fargo, written by Scott Teal, and show you that passage I couldn't read in private.
All right, man.
Oh, okay.
You better check the credits and make sure Sign Guy don't have no credits in there.
Oh, credits, yes. I better check that, yes. Okay. Back to you, Sign Guy. Oh, and good luck with your Bon Scott bagpipe homework assignment.
All right, thank you, man.
I will get to work on that now, yes. Okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, just exciting. One of the things that every wrestler has to go through at some point in time or another is the injury. Everybody gets injured if you're in the business for any length of time, especially athletes like yourself that do a little more risky, high-flying type of style are more prone to being injured in the ring. What are some of the injuries that you've had to overcome so far in your wrestling career?
So far, literally nothing has kept me off the ring. I think almost everybody has gotten rocked at some point, you know, taking a bad bump, you know, maybe a stiff something. That's the name of the game. But nothing that's kept me out the ring. Sometimes maybe it should have, or maybe sometimes I should take a rest, but I'm so on go. Like I breathe this business now. Before I was a wrestler, I was a dancer, like a choreographer. So I breathe entertaining, you know? So, and I've always been in martial arts for my whole life. So I've always been in a combat sport, and it's just what I do. I think probably the worst thing I've had was probably like a light concussion. Other than that, I fractured my foot one time, you know, coming off the ropes, but nothing that's put me down and out.
You mentioned combative sports. Here in Washington, wrestling at the moment is considered a combative sport. We're working on changing some of the regulations and making it easier. I just today completed a physical to renew my combative sport professional wrestling license. What do you feel about the job that the Washington State Commission has been doing as far as regulating professional wrestling, and what do you think of the legislation that passed to make things a little bit easier to run shows here in our state?
I'm actually really happy with the progress. Our journey is not over as far as professional wrestling in Washington, but I feel, I had to sneeze, but I feel like it's getting somewhere, and some progress is better than no progress, and we're making jumps instead of jogs. I feel like it's only going to, you know, prosper and help put some light back on the Emerald City, Washington State as a whole, the Northwest as a whole. And it's going to give way more opportunities. You're going to start seeing way more stars pop up, way more people training. And it's going to be a new uprising of professional wrestling.
As someone that is aspiring to travel and someone that is already been in a few different states for pro wrestling, when you look at the overall landscape of independent wrestling, do you think by and large the commissions that are in existence right now are helpful to the industry, or do you think the majority of them are kind of a hindrance to what independent wrestling could be if things were a little less strict in a lot of different places?
You know, that's just like a double-edged sword. You really don't know until it happens. But like I said, all I can say is I'm happy for the growth that professional wrestling is taking. It's becoming it again, you know, and what was considered, you know, something quote unquote nerds or whatever watched is becoming a national pastime. You're seeing professional wrestlers on, you know, morning time TV and movies, and, you know, so it's really transitioning, and it's really showing that what we do is not a joke. We are talented individuals. This is an art. And every night we're putting on an action-packed, you know, series for you guys. And regardless of what's quote-unquote real and fake, we are risking our bodies, period, in a way more physical and hard-hitting and personal face-to-face manner. It's not movie stars. Don't get called fake for making movies, but you know that but you know what you're going to see is a production. You know what I mean? So we are literally putting on, you know, 5-star productions, and I feel like it's only going to get better the more that people acknowledge the art.
One of the things that every wrestler has occurred to them is moments with the fans, especially on the independent circuit. Things are a lot more personal, a lot more intimate as far as the relationship between fans and performers. I'm sure you're not different than anyone else in the industry where we have some standout moments in our minds between ourselves and some of the fans. What's a couple of the more special fan moments that you've had in your career?
Man, geez, I've already had quite a few that kind of really solidified my love for the business already, but geez, let's see. Well, you know, BCW, I'm quote-unquote a heel, or a tweener, whatever you would like to call it. And the fans there are so genuine. They love wrestling. They don't love good guys or bad guys. They love wrestling. And I'm leaving the show, and I see little girl, you know, like I'm healed out the whole show, you know. And usually we don't really expect, you know, too many fans to really show you love that night. You know, but I'm leaving and fans are saying, great, you know, great match, man. You're awesome. You're my favorite, you know, and those all mean a lot. Then out of nowhere, I believe the little girl was like 5 years old, couldn't be no more than 6. And she's like, you know, makes her way through these adults, you know, this crowd. And she literally just like has her arms up ready for a hug, ready for me to pick her up like she's known me her whole life, you know. And it's like that connection and that moment where that child's, you know, watching me perform and they are literally, I'm like Superman to them. And that moment right there was pretty awesome to me.
Now, QT covered the flip side earlier. You say no one's ever thrown a punch at you or gotten to the point where there was going to be a riot or anything. It's not very common anymore for fans to get that emotionally invested to the point where they went to physically assault the wrestler and then have nerve enough to do it. But it does happen. If you ever found yourself with fans trying to get into the ring or trying to come over the barrier to get to you, what would just be exciting to do?
Yeah, I've had fans that like stand up, you know, or especially old fans that get so mad that they want to pick up their cane and they really swing at you. You know, a few things like that, you know, but probably, you know, I haven't really ran into that many super crazy fans. I've ran into fans that, you know, yell, you know, disrespectful racial slurs, but, you know, that's just ignorance. Sometimes people can't help being so ignorant. But, you know, it just comes with the territory. It comes with it comes with having an audience. Not every audience is going to be the same.
Very true. Well, we got just a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you'd like to plug and promote, say to the fans, like talk about your merchandise, your upcoming appearances, your social medias, your favorite Mexican food restaurant, anything in the world you want, floor is all yours.
Thank you. Well, allow me to reintroduce myself. It's me. It's me. That man that gives you that feeling that leaves you on the edge of your seat. Just exciting. I want to give a shout out to PWF, BCW, 321 Battle, Defy Wrestling, any and every single fan that's out there that throws up that X in the crowd. I love you. I'll be bringing this weekend to PWF and BCW in Portland on Sunday. New merch, the exciting skull, awesome new shirt, literally printing those out right now. So they're going to be fresh, probably still warm, fresh out the oven for y'all. Then we also got the just exciting 5'9 Charisma Sky High t-shirts, also going to be in the building. And we have those in long sleeve too, so you know winter is coming. Game of Thrones fans, got you. But anyways, yes, and also November 4th, CPW, I'll be defending, Lord willing, my Cruiserweight Championship in a three-way against Kane, Jaden, and the Phoenix Kid from Alaska, who's, I believe, their last Frontier champion right now. Kane, crazy up-and-comer. He's family. So the fact that we have to go through this for this is something that I'm not going to let go, but it's something that he's not going to stop coming for. So, Kane, I'll see you November 4th. Phoenix, I'll see you November 4th. Ian, I'm going to see you tomorrow. And whoever's on Sunday, I'll see you on Sunday. And then 3-2-1 Battle, get at me. Defy, get at me. Everybody else, ECCW, I see you guys. Now that's exciting.
Well, just exciting. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us. I definitely look forward to tomorrow. We'll have a nice hot cup of coffee, creamer and sugar for you, mine like bad blood, and hopefully we'll have a fantastic turnout there at the Elks. It was great the last time. I look forward to our second time at the new facility. Fans, if you have a chance to see Just Exciting perform anywhere, definitely take time and buy a ticket. Phenomenal athlete, very exciting, not just in name, he's phenomenal. Support him, buy one of the t-shirts, get out to the building, buy his shirt, and we will talk to you Sunday afternoon. We're going to be back with you second generation day. We got second generation wrestlers, should be an interesting time. Find myself and Just Exciting, and maybe even QT tomorrow at the Elks, Bremerton. And get out there wherever there's professional wrestling near you. Go out there, support it. We'll talk to you soon.